Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 1, day 2 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 1, 1 through 4. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-Week Bible Study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra starting in verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also put it in writing. I want to pause right there because there's three things going on here that are very important for us to understand. There's a lot of prophecy that is coming to fulfillment. And Ezra is going to point out just one of the three prophets, one of the three things that are converging simultaneously. I don't understand why he doesn't point out the other two, but he points out Jeremiah, which is seems to me the lesser of the three. Jeremiah understood and prophesied that there was only going to be 70 years of captivity. And that is what Ezra is pointing to specifically. He doesn't say that specifically in this book, but what he's talking about is Jeremiah prophesied and understood from reading the prophet Daniel and from reading other prophets that the time of captivity was going to be 70 years, that they were going to be Daniel actually understood that from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had prophesied there was going to be 70 years of captivity, and Ezra is alluding to that this is the end of that 70 years. In addition to that, Daniel actually has a prophecy about this very moment here. He has a prophecy that was going to very soon become fulfilled, but also that extended well beyond his lifetime. And that's in Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy of the weeks, as it's called, where the pivotal moment, the point in history that is called out and the dates start moving, the calendar starts moving in Daniel chapter 9, is this moment when Cyrus issues the decree to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. And so Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, prophesies about this. But the most amazing of the three prophecies, by far, is Isaiah chapter 45, where Isaiah, 100 years before this moment, prophesies Cyrus's name. Isaiah prophesies that there's going to be this Gentile king that God calls my servant Cyrus. And he says, I'm going to anoint my servant Cyrus. And as he prophesies about this man and about what's going to happen here. Again, three prophetic things, three prophetic timelines all coming together in this one moment. Now, unfortunately, most of the scholarship, most of what you will read if you go out and you do Google searches for this, most of the books you'll read about these three prophecies, most scholars, because they don't believe in the Bible and they don't believe in God to some extent or another, they're incredulous that all of these things could have been prophesied in advance, because the testimony of Isaiah, the testimony of Daniel, the prophecies in Isaiah and Daniel, and even Jeremiah to a lesser extent, they are so precise and so exact about what happened during this time period. Most scholars, in fact, I would say all scholars that don't believe God and don't believe the Bible, which unfortunately is most biblical scholars today, most of them believe that Isaiah and Daniel were written later in retrospect of what had happened, because they cannot believe that these things could have been prophesied with such clarity and precision on the front end. And so most scholars will say, well, those things were written afterwards, because they just can't believe that God could actually know the end from the beginning. But you and I, we know that the Lord, He understands everything that's going on. He's orchestrating all of this. This is not a surprise to him. And so it's not a difficult thing for the Lord to speak to his prophets and tell them things with great precision that are going to happen in the future. And that's exactly what's happened here. And Ezra is calling that out. He's saying, Jeremiah prophesied that this is going to happen. Again, I don't understand why I didn't say Daniel spoke of this, because at the point that Ezra is writing this, Daniel was a generation before him. So he could have also called that out. He could have also called out Isaiah. He only chose to focus on Jeremiah. But those three things, those prophetic timelines, are coming together in this incredible, beautiful precision right in this decree that Cyrus is going to make. Sometimes I wonder, I imagine, you know, Daniel existed from the Babylonian Empire to the Persian Empire. We know the story where Daniel's in the lion's den, and that happens in the Persian kingdom. And I just wonder, did Daniel not make sure that all the Persian kings know that there's going to be a man named Cyrus who's going to come, and God had anointed him? Because what Cyrus says here, this is amazing. Cyrus has, it doesn't even sound like he's got a reverence for the God of Israel. It sounds like he is a worshiper of the God of Israel at this point when we read this letter that he's going to send. Let's jump into that. Verse 2. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Here you see Cyrus understands that the Lord has anointed him. He has anointed. I mean, it really does seem like at this point, Cyrus has read the book of Isaiah. It seems like he's probably read or had read the book of Isaiah. He's had read the prophecies of Daniel, or Daniel's actually talked to him personally. He's had the prophecies of Jeremiah read to him, or he's read them himself. It seems like he understands that he's fitting in this storyline. Imagine what it must have been like to have been Cyrus, to have just conquered this nation of Babylon, and they just happened to have the Jewish people, the people of Judah, were their captives, and you just kind of inherit the people of Judah because you've conquered the land of Babylon, and all of a sudden, all of these prophecies where they can tell you your name, hey, we knew you were going to be king. We didn't know it was going to be of Persia, but we knew you were going to be king, by the way. And here's, you know, all of this information about you. I imagine, I don't know this, but I imagine that's what is written in Scripture. What's written in the book of Isaiah may have just been the Reader's Digest version of what Isaiah the prophet and other prophets actually had to say about King Cyrus. They might have been able to tell him everything about himself. Very often, that's the way these things work. We see that in the book of Samuel, that even though, you know, Samuel had some amazing prophecies written in the book of Samuel tells us that he was prophesying all the time to the people of Israel, and not one of his words fell to the ground, meaning he was prophesying over people as he's making this circuit riding court that he did, and he would prophesy over people, and he was always right. But it doesn't record all of these individual prophecies that he gives us. This is very common for prophecies to have been given that weren't recorded in Scripture, but that were very meaningful, but they don't necessarily have to do with biblical history. And that's why they're not recorded in the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah. So it could have been that all of these prophetic voices, Ezekiel, Daniel, they could have met Cyrus at some point and said, hey, let me tell you about you. Because the Lord works in amazing ways like that. And so Cyrus has an understanding that the Lord has anointed him to do this. And he's starting his letter like that. Verse 3. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Cyrus is issuing a decree to everyone in the Babylonian and Persian Empire, the Persian Empire at large. He's saying, everybody here, I want to provide for these these people of Judah going back to Jerusalem, I want you to give them everything they need. And this edict, this command right here, is going to become very important in the future chapters of Ezra. We're going to revisit this several times in Ezra and Nehemiah. This edict that Cyrus gives, and especially this part of it, where he says, I want all of you, you know, you all of you people in my kingdom, give them things, provide for this. This is important. This part of the edict is going to be revisited several times in the coming decades. And so it's very important for us to understand this. But it is also important for us to understand that the prophets, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they did not write about this. They were not written by other people and written as a prophet saying them on the front end. They weren't written after the fact to fit the narrative. They were written beforehand. They prophesied this, and they prophesied it accurately. This is one of the most amazing moments in all of the Bible. I mean, a distant second or third or fourth to the moment where Jesus is born and all of this prophetic timeline comes cataclysmically together. But this is one of those cataclysmic moments of biblical prophecy, where so many things come together in this very moment. And actually, this very moment, according to the prophecy of weeks in Daniel chapter 9, has importance over our lives today. It has importance over the coming return of our Messiah, of Jesus. It all hinges on this moment that we read about here in Ezra chapter 1. This is one of the most important moments in human history. And I showed the timeline. I've sent out the timeline via our email list. And if you're not on that, I encourage you to sign up for the email list and you will get the timeline and be able to see that. There's actually lots of timelines out there that you can have, but I've assembled a timeline that I've condensed most of the major facts that you need to know about our coming studies for Ezra and Nehemiah. I've condensed them into one short timeline that you can see. I encourage you to get that. Sign up for the email list at 10weekbible.com, and you can get that timeline to look at this. But so many things, even our future, hinges on this very moment that we are reading right now. That's what I love about this book. That's what I love about studying the Bible, is even though this happened thousands of years ago, it has incredible, dramatic importance to us today. It is one of the most important moments in human history, and I'm so glad to be getting to read this together with you. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.